If you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs is a pretty interesting book. I don't know how many of you have ever read through the Proverbs. One of the most beautiful things about Proverbs, right after the book of Psalms, is that there are 31 Proverbs given to us, and there's a proverb for each day of the month. If you only have 30 days and 30 Proverbs, there's 31 Proverbs. And we're going to be dealing with many, many subjects in the book of Proverbs. As a matter of fact, Solomon is the writer of Proverbs, and he begins this collection of sayings that will help to reveal to us not only what God desires of our lives, but the mistakes that people make in their own personal lives. And I think it's really kind of amazing, and I tell people all the time that when I get up every morning, I like to read a proverb in the morning. And then before I go to bed in the evenings, I like to read the Psalms. But then in the mornings, I also like to continue in my reading through the Bible. I'm starting with Genesis. I'm right now in the book of Ezekiel. I like to read it twice a year. So I'll take from 5 to 7 chapters, or maybe 10 chapters, and read through it, you know, consistently. And asking God as I'm reading through the Bible to speak to my heart, a time of, you know, kind of meditation when you read, to stop and meditate and think about what you're reading, and allowing the Holy Spirit a space of time to speak to you and to instruct you so that you know exactly what decisions you need to make on that day. Very, very important. There are people, by the way, and you know that I know, and you know yourselves, that there are people that get up in the morning and they never pray, they never read, and they start their day without God and end their day without God. But if you're making decisions throughout the day, just getting out of bed, and then taking a shower, brushing your teeth, combing your hair, eating breakfast, getting in your car, and then heading out to your job, between your home and the job, you could be killed. Think about that. You could fall off in the shower room, you know, fall, hit your head, and you're done. That's why I always like to start with God and end with God, because you never know how, it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. And Solomon was the son of King David. Remember, there were three kings that we started with. Saul, from the tribe of Benjamin. And then David from the actual tribe of Judah. And then Solomon, his son, came into power. And what's incredible is that Solomon was one of the greatest, wisest men that ever lived. And God blessed them with everything you could imagine. Riches, silver and gold. Everything you could imagine. And it's interesting that when you read the Proverbs, especially when you start in Proverbs chapter 1, that as you begin to read the story, that we begin to see that the proverb is going to be speaking to us about godly wisdom that brings joy to a person's life. Godly wisdom. And godly wisdom is doing the law, is doing and fulfilling God's word in your life. In the Old Testament, it's called the Torah, the law of God. And as we come into the New Testament, the full word of God now, 39 Old Testament book, 27 of the New, 66 in total, we begin to see that Solomon, as he's writing, he reminds me of James, the brother of Jesus, when he wrote the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22, where he says, "Do not morally listen to the words, so deceive yourselves, do what it says." Then Jesus said this, "If you love me, you will do what I command you to do." It's a command. One of the biggest problems in the world today in every church is that there are people that are not obedient to God. Are not obedient to God. Disobedient. Now, we can become either godly or ungodly people. You can become a Christian, but at the same time, becoming a Christian is a good thing, but at the same time, it could be a bad thing. Why? Because as Paul writes to the Corinthian church, he says they were Christians, they were coming to the Lord, but they never really left the world. They were carnal people. They were argumentative, division makers. They were putting lawsuits on other brothers and sisters in the Lord. They were abusing the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They did not really believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And at the same time, they were stealing from the offerings of God. Instead of giving to Him, they were taking from Him. So there's a lot to learn concerning the Word of God. And what's incredible is the way the actual proverb begins here, beginning with the title of this chapter 1, verse 1. He says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Immediately, he gives you the introduction, who's the writer, and who his father is. And what's incredible here, as you begin to think of Solomon, we begin to see that his name literally means peace, shalom in Hebrew. It's an interesting name. And his father was David, that David was the one that was the king of Israel that committed that great sin of adultery with Bathsheba. When he came out on his balcony, he pulled himself out of the battle, came home to get some R&R. He took a shower, or he didn't have showers in those days. He took a bath or whatever, got, you know, soaped down and got clean. Put on his robe, came out to his palace, to the balcony, and started looking out over the city. And as he looked over the city, he looked down, and because it had flat roofs, there was a beautiful woman by the name of Bathsheba bathing on top of the roof, and he couldn't contain himself. He called for her to come up, and he lay with her. And yet her husband was fighting for David in his army. What a betrayal. So what did David do? David came to that place in his life that found out 3 months later, she wrote a letter to David and said, David, I'm pregnant, I'm going to have a baby. So what David does to cover his ground, he goes ahead and he calls her husband to come in from the battle and to have some time with her. You know, by her being with him sexually, then when he goes back to the battle, he can say, hey, guess what? You're going to have a baby. Congratulations. And the whole time it was David's baby. But you see, God is in control of our lives. God knows what he's doing. You can try to connive. You can try to lie. You can try to cheat. You can try to do whatever you want to do. But God always wins. You and I always lose. Bottom line. And what's incredible is that when David found himself in the palace reading that letter that was written by Bathsheba to him, that Satan came immediately and said, David, I got the solution for your problem. Why don't you go ahead and take Bathsheba's husband, call him in from the battle, give him some R&R time, and then he'll go home to his wife, she'll lay with him, and then you can say congratulations. Well, he wrote the letter, sent it out. Uriah, his literal cousin, sends him home to have some R&R time. He comes home. David has a big party for him. And as he has this party, the evening comes to an end. And he's leaving the house. He sees his men out on the patio. They don't get to go home with their wives. So what happens? He sleeps with his men. And literally, he's drunk, so he passes out. The next morning, he comes back. And they tell David, David, Bathsheba's husband never went home. Never went home. And so David becomes really upset. He's really worried about this. So what does he do? He has a second party the next night. He gives them to eat, gives them to drink, and he makes sure that he's guiding him as he's leaving. He says, now you go home tonight and sleep with your wife. But at the same time, when he saw his man, he wanted to sleep with his man instead of his wife because then he had to go home. He was a good commander. He was faithful to his men. But it was all in God's plan. You see? You can say whatever you want to say. It was God's plan. And when David the next day found out that he did not sleep with his wife, then he really became concerned. So Satan once again comes to him and says, hey, it's real easy, David. All you got to do is get a pen, get some paper, and write a letter, and then seal it with your ring and send it to your cousin. And this is what you're going to write. Take Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, and put him on the front lines, and then withdraw thyself and have him killed. That's murder. That's murder. Uriah, when his cousin took him and put him in the front lines and left him there, and he got killed, he wrote back and said, mission accomplished, sir, is done. You don't have to worry about the problem anymore. You know what David did immediately? Instead of repenting, he called Bathsheba and brought her to his house and made her his wife so that everything would look cool when the baby would be born. But you see, you can't hide sin from God. When the baby was getting ready to be born, and it was born, it'd been 9 months, no repentance. The baby got sick, and the baby died. And you would think, wow, David, wake up. What's the matter with you? And then it's incredible, because when God came to David in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12, when you go home, read it. When David came to that place in his life, when he recognized that God was in control and that he had lost his communion with God, David repented and God forgave him. And God said that David had a heart after God's own heart. And then Solomon was born. Solomon was to be the king of Israel, the third king. That was God's choice. And what's amazing to me concerning Solomon is that Solomon had an understanding heart that God had given to him. God had exalted Solomon into a place where he became not only the king of Israel, but when Solomon came into power before he was king and he was going to become the next king of Israel, the first thing he did in 1 Kings chapter 3 and chapter 4, you know what he does? He says, Lord, if I'm going to be king, I need to let you know this. I need your wisdom and your knowledge. That's what he prayed for. And God came back and said to him, because you didn't ask me for anything like silver and gold and jewels and diamonds and all these things, I'm going to give it all to you. I'm going to give it all to you. And we began to see the progression and the digression in Solomon's life. When he became the king of Israel, when the queen of Sheba came to see him and saw all the things that he had possessed and how famous he had become, he says, even when I heard it, I didn't believe it until I came here and my own eyes saw it. I can't believe it. I'm going back to tell everybody. He says, it's amazing what God has done in your life. You see, it's always God that is working in me and through my life. And Solomon becomes not only a great king, but a great writer. A great writer. He wrote 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs. 1,005 songs. 3,000 proverbs. You know how hard it is to write a proverb? It is hard. It's not rhyming proverbs. You'll see in a moment. And what's amazing to me is that David, his father, not only was the king of Israel, but he was from the tribe of Judah. And at the same time, he came through the line where the Mashiach or the Messiah, Jesus, was going to be born. And his great-grandmother was who? Ruth the Moabitess. Interesting when you study history. And David was chosen by God. And now Solomon, his son, is chosen to be the next king of Israel. It's God is going to lift him up. So that's the title. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Verse 2, the purpose. Here's the purpose of the Proverbs. The purpose of the proverb is to know wisdom and instruction. Notice what it says. To know what? Wisdom and instruction. Knowledge is not as important as wisdom. Wisdom is number one. To be wise. To know exactly what God says. And what's amazing to me is I was reading the proverb. This is the purpose now of the proverb. That the word wisdom here is used 141 times. 141 times. The importance of wisdom. And what's incredible here, it is speaking of character and the conduct that we should possess as Christians in a world that is really stupid without God, without hope in this world. Bottom line, the most intelligent professor in any university comparing to the wisdom of God, he's stupid. Has nothing to offer. And I've heard many of them. Seriously. They use big old words that we don't even understand. And it's so sad because here, you know, you begin to see what God's plan is for man, that man will come to place wisdom as a priority in his or her life. And so Solomon writing, he says, to know wisdom and instruction. And what's incredible here, the word instruction is the word to admonish, to discipline, to correct, to chastise. And that instruction comes, listen carefully, it comes through the Bible, the Word of God. As you read it, as you study it, as you meditate on it. And I think of how many people, not only in the church here, but outside of the four walls, in so many churches, that do not ever study God's Word, and people personally don't read the Bible. So when you leave your house, what kind of wisdom do you have for the rest of the day? When you go do business? Think about it. It's really important that it's better to have the wisdom of God than the wisdom of the world or any knowledge from the world. The wisdom of God is the greatest thing to possess in our lives. He says this, to perceive the words of understanding. Notice that. To know wisdom and instruction is to perceive the words of understanding. And the word understanding here in the Hebrew is very interesting. It means to discern between good and evil. Write it down. To discern between good and evil. You've got to have what? Discernment. As a child of God. How do we get discernment? By reading God's Word. By having the Holy Spirit in my life. As I come every single morning to pray, to read, to wait upon God. And for Him to give me the answers that I need in my life. And if there's no answers, I wait carefully and patiently. You don't want to make a move without God speaking to your heart. And then stepping out by faith as He speaks to you. To have the peace of God that passes all understanding. You see, no one truly is wise. No one truly is wise until wisdom is come upon your life. And how do you do that? By being in God's Word. Reading Genesis to Revelation. The full counsel of God. To know exactly what God says in His Word when you read it and you come to place. Why? Because it will express instruction in your life. You'll know what to do. It's like He says the Word is what? Admonishing, discipline, correction, and chastisement. You see? The Word of God, when you're doing something wrong, what happens? God spanks you. He corrects you. And then He builds you up. So it's really important that here Solomon is talking to his children. He's talking to his sons and daughters. And he's given them this kind of wisdom that they need. Now look at verse 3, what he says. He says, to receive the instruction, again, there's the word instruction. To receive admonishment, discipline, correction, chastisement. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Four things. Notice what he's talking about here. So he's talking about the purpose of the proverb. What's the purpose of the proverb? To receive the instruction of what? Wisdom, wise behavior. Justice, which means what? To come to know what God is saying. Judgment is justice, and then equity that he's talking about. In each one of our lives to have that. And that's very important to have as a child of God. To know that. Verse 4. To give prudence. Notice that. Prudence means a person that shrewdly evaluates advice, circumstances, and experience. That's the word used here. To give prudence to the simple or the wise, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Wow. So the proverbs are important not only for the old, but the parents are to teach their children the proverbs. The parents are to teach the children the proverbs. Why? To instruct them. Look what he says. He says to give prudence to the simple or the wise, to the young man, knowledge. And the word knowledge here, it's in reference to experience, everyday experiences. So they know how to make decisions, you know, because they've had the word of God in their hearts. They're going to make the right decisions. They're going to be having discernment with their friends, whatever they do. And then he says also this, that to the young man, knowledge and discretion, which means good thought pattern. Good thought pattern. Because the word of God will be in his mind. I remember when my kids were growing up, before they would go to school, my wife or I would read to them the word of God. Not for an hour or 3 or 4 or 5 hours. Very simple. They're children. Very simple. In their language. Not in the King James Version. Now thou knowest? Imagine they would turn off themselves completely. So here Solomon is given instruction. Look at verse 5. He says, a wise man will hear and increase in what? In learning. Notice what he says. There's going to be growth. Not digression, growth. In wisdom, in knowledge, and instruction. As you are consistent in your teaching. Consistent in your praying with your children and instructing them. And what's really here, a wise man, is in reference to receiving the truth of God in your heart. A wise man will hear or listen and increase in learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Notice that. He will account to wise counsel. He'll attain it. When his friends put the peer pressure on him, he'll make a decision because the scripture will come to his mind. God will help him. God will speak to his heart. And then you know what happens here, what's incredible? In verse 7, now you can put this in your Bible. This is the theme of the Proverbs. Right here, verse 7. This is what he says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of true knowledge, but stupid people despise wisdom and instruction. Wow. That's heavy stuff. That's in modern language for you guys. And literally in the Greek, it means stupid. People that don't listen are stupid. Despise wisdom, true wisdom, and instruction. So every person that is not a Christian and rejects the word of God is stupid. Stupid. That's what the Bible says. So you can tell them, the Bible says this. Don't say Ross said it. Tell them the Bible said it. That's what the Bible says. So here is the theme of the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord. And here, this is the foundation now in the first chapter, which is it's speaking of reverence, it's speaking of respect to God. The fear of the Lord, reverencing God, respecting God's word, respecting his name, respecting his wisdom, respecting his knowledge, respecting my commitment to him. You see? Fully, completely. It's what? It's the beginning. Or literally here, he says, is the principal part of what? Of true knowledge. True knowledge. But in contrast to the fear of the Lord, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. They don't want to hear the Bible. They don't want to hear wisdom. They don't want to be instructed. And there are children in the home that will rebel and they will come against God's word. They don't want to hear it. But listen, you're the parent and they're the children. And so many times when I counsel with people, the reason that the child is rebelling is because the father is not the leader of the home spiritually. So they say, well, if dad's not the spiritual leader, why should mom be? Why should I listen? When God has called every man to be the spiritual leader of his home. And many times the woman will take over when the husband is not the spiritual leader. Why? Because she loves her children. And she obeys God. So it's really important that we understand, that we learn as we're going through the Proverbs. This is what God says. This is what God wants. This is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom's path. I wrote this down. He says, it's a reward that gives to us the riches and honor of a full life in God. A rich life in God, not financially, but spiritually. And then in verse 8, now he calls attention to, listen carefully, from verses now 8 here to verse 19, it's a warning against criminals, young criminals, gangs in the streets, the gangsters. He starts out in chapter 1, verse 8, my son. So he's talking to his son, my son. Listen, hear the instruction of your father. So you can see Solomon with a scroll, and as we sit with our Bibles, and we're teaching our children. You get the picture. My son, listen to me. Don't listen to me. Listen to the word of God, what God's word says. He says, and do not forsake the Torah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The Torah, the five books of Moses. He says, what? My son, listen or hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. Notice that. Mom and dad together teaching their children God's word. That's what the Bible teaches. So it's really important that if you're not in the home teaching your children, then they're going to secular school, hanging out with their friends. They're growing up into their teens. They're rebelling, and they see their friends drink and take drugs and be on their phones with pornography and all that stuff, and then they have it in your home, but you're not the spiritual leader of your home. You're going to have chaos in your home. Chaos. Because they're going to do whatever they want. They don't have the example. The parents are supposed to be the example for children to listen to the word of God. Mom and dad, you need to be in the word of God. They need to see you praying on your knees. They need to see you reading God's word. You need to be the example. So they can want to follow. And not showing off to them, but honestly praying with them. When they go to bed, go in the room, pray with them. Before they go to bed, get your Bible, read them a story. There are so many stories. So many stories in the Bible. That when they get up in the morning, they go to bed with God's word. They get up in the morning and they go to school or wherever they go with the word of God throughout the day. Memorizing scripture, little scripture boxes. We have scriptures all over the walls. We have, you know, nice pictures, but they have scriptures. So wherever you go, you know, you're sitting there, you're reading a scripture. And what happens pretty soon as you're reading scripture, wherever you go, it starts taking into your brain, and all of a sudden you're memorizing the scriptures, and pretty soon you're quoting scripture. That's what he's trying to teach here. A call to attention that your children need to be taught. If not, if they don't have the Word of God, they're going to hang out with bad company. They're going to hang out with bad company. You're going to ruin your children. They're going to be done. Because they haven't been admonished. They haven't been corrected. They haven't been taught. Look what he says. Verse 8 again. My son, hear the instruction of your father and don't forsake the law of your mother. Now, this brings up something. Remember the sons of Eli in 1 Samuel, the priest, Hophni and Phinehas, both sons. They were in the house of God and their father was a high priest. But he never ever took the time to really teach them and to instruct them and to discipline them. So when they grew up, what did they do in the house of the Lord? They stole the money from the temple, they drank in the temple, and they lay with women in the temple. And what did God do? God killed them. God killed them. He got rid of them. Look at Samson. Being brought up in the ways of the Lord, and yet look where he ended up. Because he didn't listen. You can't force your children. God has to really grab their hearts. You have to be obedient to teaching them, instructing them, praying for them, living with them, and sharing with them. But they got to see the example in order for them to live it out. Or they can't do it. And Eli the priest came to a place in his life where his sons went out to the battle and they were killed in the battle, and they came back, one of the runners came back and said, hey, by the way, your son Hophni and him, they were killed in the battle. And by the way, also, the Ark of the Covenant was taken. And when he heard that, he fell backwards and broke his neck and he died. He didn't die when his sons died. He died when he heard that the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, has been taken. The judgment of God came upon him and God killed him. It's sad that pastors, deacons, elders, helpers, congregation people are like that. They don't teach their children. They're not in the Word of God. They're not in the Word of God. And yet God has called us to know Him intimately, to know Him by the Word of God. So parents, I'm exhorting you tonight. Start tomorrow morning. Start tonight when you go home to pray with your kids, to read them Bible stories, and not to be watching television so much or be on their phones. You know, one of the things that the other day, I told you the story, my grandkids, I got 3 granddaughters, 1 grandson. And whenever we go out to dinner, we like to communicate, and they like to play with phones. So their daddy and I say, you know what? No phones. We're going to communicate. We're going to talk. We're going to have quality time. And now they got it. Now they know that. You got to teach them. With all the toys and computers and all the technology we have today, think how busy. I watch, man, I'm going down the street and kids are walking from school. That's what they're doing. It's sad. You talk to them, that's what they do. It's sad. You know, it's sad. I mean, they don't know how to communicate anymore. And it's going to get worse because there's more toys. And yet, as Christians, there has to be a balance. A balance. The greatest thing is to know God intimately, to know His Word, to have fellowship with Him, so that I can walk in the ways of God. And when people come at work and talk to me, I can give them answers to their problems. Why? Because I spent time with God this morning. So here Solomon is really, really speaking to my heart. He spoke to my heart today, this whole week. And look what he says in verse 9. He says, "For they will be a grateful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." Notice that. The beautiful thing about what? Wisdom. It improves your character. And here, the value of instruction by the word of God to your children. Notice that. The value of instructing children with the word of God. And then what he does now, it's pretty amazing. In verse 10 now, he's going to give you the warning of bad company, what your children can do when they go to school, or they go out to play, or they go out on a Friday night somewhere. What happens to those kids? He starts out here by teaching their children. Notice what he says. He says, "My son, if sinners are enticing you, do not consent." Notice that. He's telling you. If they ask you and they invite you to take alcohol, to drink alcohol, or take drugs, or have sex, and they put the peer pressure on you, you can say what? No to them. Why? Because I have God in my life. You've been taught that. Who taught you that? My parents taught me that. So important what Solomon is saying here. Children need instruction. They need what? They need help. Because the problem is disobedience can have disastrous, and deadly consequences. Think of how many kids have OD'd on drugs, overdosed. How many kids started with a beer bottle and ended up when they're 20, 30, 40, 50 years old and alcoholics? I like those beer commercials they do on football nights and baseball time. I wish they would use those, but 30, 40 years later, put the same people on there and tell them the effects of alcohol. Like my son Ryan. He played for the football team when he was a freshman. He became the carrier for the football team of drugs. At 15 years of age. And for 19 years, man, he went on drugs. 19 years. And he lived in a Christian home. And I never took drugs. And neither my other, Raul Jr. never, and Shay never took drugs. But it happens. And what was the thing that brought him back? Remember he said in Panama City, sitting in that hotel room, "This is the day the Lord has made." Remember, he remembered that song and he got that Gideon Bible, opened it up. Why? Because he had the foundation. The foundation was the Word of God. When he was a little kid. The Bible reading time. The praying with him. He has a will. You have a will. I have a will. We can do whatever we want. We make choices. Good choices, bad choices. So it's really important that we take heed to what he's saying here, because here he's given that invitation to do evil. They're inviting him to evil. Watch this. Verse 11. He says, "If they say to you, 'Come with us.'" Notice the invitation. "Come with us. Let us lie in wait and let's kill somebody." Let's kill somebody. He's talking about gang members. Planning to kill. To rob and steal and kill. Notice that. "Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause." Notice, they don't pick on somebody their own size, they pick on the weak. Always on the weak. And Solomon here is teaching his son. Son, be careful how you choose your friends. What are they telling you? What do they want from you? Verse 12. "Let us swallow them alive like hell, Sheol, and whole like those who go down into the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil." Oh man, we'll rob them, we'll steal them, and we'll have money to buy drugs, to buy alcohol, to buy weapons. We'll rule our town. We'll be bad. Think about what he's saying here. He's teaching us. things that we see today. He's teaching his son to stay away from drugs, alcohol, and gangs. Bad company corrupts your morals. Very important what he's saying here. He goes on, verse 14. He says, cast in your lot among us and let us all have one purse. He says, okay, you want to join the gang? This is what you got to do. In some of the gangs, they beat up on the guy. He has to fight the whole gang. Then he's in. Others, they give you a weapon. You go out and say, kill that person, and then come back. And you'll be part of the gang. Different things they do. And there are so many gangs today. People don't even know. So many gangs. And here Solomon is exposing it. Verse 15. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Notice that. Don't walk with them. Don't fellowship with them. Keep yourself away from their path. Notice what he's teaching him. Stay away from them. Go another way to school. Go a different path every day. Don't let them put the pressure on you. Verse 16. For their feet run to evil, they make haste to shed blood. Notice that. Their feet run to evil. And they what? They make haste their blood. Notice that. So this is the first reason for the warning. It involves evil actions and even murder that they're actually talking to his son about. And then verse 17. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. Here he's warning that these young people about peer pressure to do evil. Don't be pressured by peer pressure. Don't go that way. Stay away from it. You do what God tells you to do. You can say no. If they don't like you, that's too bad. Who cares? Who cares? Doing right is the key. Serving God, loving God, eternal life, the kingdom of God. To me, is one of the most drastic things is to do a teenager's funeral or a young man's funeral that has died through overdosing of drugs or has been shot or killed by somebody else and they don't know the Lord. It blows me away. What can you tell people? I don't talk to him, I talk to the people. The parents are there weeping and crying, broken up. Guilty, feeling guilty because their son is dead. It's sad. But this is what Solomon wants us to know. He wants to instruct us. He wants to teach us. He goes on in verse 18, he says, but they lie in wait for their own blood. Notice that. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So evil men, notice, ignore the warnings. They don't take warning. They ignore it. Ah, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, we don't want to listen to you. Get out of here. They don't take instruction. The reason gangs hang out together is because they've been neglected by their parents. They find a family in the gang. When families neglect their children, they'll find somebody else dead. Even child molesters will come along and give comfort to your children. Gotta be careful. Gotta be careful what you do. He goes on, verse 19. He says, so are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. Notice they murder. They murder. Then he comes back in verse 20 to 33 now, and wisdom's denunciation of fools. He says, wisdom calls aloud outside. She, notice she's personified as she. Wisdom. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses at the opening of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. And she says, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge. Wow. Fools do not like wisdom or true knowledge. They're scorners. They scorn wisdom and knowledge. They don't want anything to do with it. And he's talking about the people that know the truth of God, but suppress it. in unrighteousness and unfaithfulness in their lives. Verse 23, the encouragement. Turn at my rebuke. Repent. Notice, turn. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Notice the promise of the Spirit, the promise of God's word. 24, because I have called and you refuse, then I have stretched out my hand and no one regards it, because you rejected wisdom. Notice that. He says, because, verse 25, you disdain all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. You didn't listen. I also will laugh at your calamity. Wow. I'll be laughing when you're destroyed. Why? Because you were stupid. You didn't listen. He says, I will mock when your terror comes. Terror means fear. Verse 27, when your fear comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes upon you, then they will call on me. Notice, out of fear, they'll call upon wisdom. Or they'll call upon God, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. They cross the line. Wow. Pretty heavy stuff what he's teaching us. Verse 29, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. That's why I don't answer them. Notice how serious the judgment of God is. For people that willfully reject God's knowledge and wisdom. Then he says, verse 30, they would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. They never learned. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way. They're going to reap to their sins. You sow and you reap. And be filled with the fool of their own fantasies. Verse 32, for the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Notice that. But whosoever listens to me, wisdom, will dwell what? Safely. And will be secure without any fear of evil. Isn't that heavy? Will not be afraid of evil. Why? Because I give my life fully, completely to God. Father, I pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God. Lord, as we move through these Proverbs, teach us, Lord. Really teach us your word, Father. Lord God, we pray for next week as we pick up chapter 2 of Proverbs. Lord God, lead us, guide us into all truth. And Lord, I pray this evening here for all these people and those watching through the internet. For anybody real quickly here that is not a Christian, you don't know God, you've heard tonight the proverb. The only way to become wise and to really understand the Bible is to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ by becoming born again of the Holy Spirit through repentance of your life as you repent of your sins. He will cleanse you and wash you by his blood, and then he'll write your name in the book of life, and then you'll have eternal life, and then you start reading your Bible, going to church, start praying, and you'll start growing and developing and becoming a wise person. Nothing will be perfect. You'll have trials, you'll have temptations, but God will be with you and he'll help you. If there's anybody here tonight that wants to receive Christ, young, old, I don't care who you are, please stand to your feet, come up here to the front, and I want to pray with you. Just get up and come, whoever you are. That's awesome. Anybody else? You don't have to if you don't want to. The reason we allow you to call you to do that is because God wants your life. Come. Awesome. All he wants to do is give you eternal life, forgive you for your sins, and give you a new life, and give you wisdom and true knowledge so that you can survive and live in this world, man, that is so corrupt. So corrupt, man. It's bad. Anybody else before I pray? Mom, dad, son, daughter, whoever you are. Father, I thank you so much for these, and I pray for each one of them. Those of you that have come, I want you to pray with me this prayer. Repeat after me and ask Jesus Christ to come into your hearts, okay? Pray with me this prayer. Dear Jesus, Please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to cleanse me, wash me by your blood. And I receive you by faith as my Lord, as my Savior. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit and with your love. In Jesus' name I pray this prayer. Amen. We're going to give you guys a Bible, some literature. See that guy right over there? Go right over there, you guys. Awesome. Thank you. Awesome, awesome. What a blessing.